Good morning, Living Christ Church. Welcome. Thank you all for joining us, whether you're here in person or at the comfort of your home. We just pray that for this next hour or so, we would just set our hearts on the Lord and just put away any distraction. So however you need to do that this morning, we welcome you to do that and to join us in a time of worship. So let's all pray together. Lord, we pray that we would give you every burden and every anxiety and just lay it down at your feet, God. We pray that you would come, Holy Spirit, Lord, whether it's here at this church or just in the comfort of people's homes, Lord, that you would speak. God, we come with expectation, knowing that you are in control and that you are a good Father. Lord, we just give you our worship this morning. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
Hidden glory in creation.
worship your name, God, knowing that there is no other name under heaven by which we have been saved. That your name, Jesus, is the name above all names. God, you are worthy. Jesus, you are worthy of our praise. That we would just set our hearts on you, Jesus. Would you continue to worship with us this morning? Let's keep on singing.
Thank you.
So God, we come together with the capital C Church, with all your children who are worshiping this morning, knowing that you have called us, you have redeemed us, that we no longer are in control by the enemy, but because we have your spirit within us, that we are free in you. So we pray with our brothers and sisters who are in oppression, Lord, all over the world, Lord, specifically those in Afghanistan, but those in Haiti, God, and we just pray and we lift them up. We come together and we intercede on their behalf, Lord. We pray your protection over them, Lord, your supernatural protection over the Christians who are over there. Knowing that, God, you are the God who can do all things. Lord, nothing is impossible for you. We pray that you will strengthen them. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray these things in your name. Amen. Before you take a seat, take a moment to greet one another. Say hi to your neighbor. Those watching online, we would love to see that you're watching. And then you can be seated.
Good morning, church. I'm Pastor Jeff. I'm the lead pastor here. Welcome, the few of you who weathered the storm, and for you at home, stay safe. Before we go any further, generally on the third Sunday of the month, we highlight some of our international workers, but we chose to do it this week. The international workers that we want to highlight are Soot and Sina Lau. We, as part of the Christian Mission Alliance, support international workers around the world, and two of those that we support are Soot and Sina Lau, who serve God in Cambodia, and they're actually home here in the States on home assignment, and they'll actually be here in November to give us an update on what God's been doing in and through them. And so before we go any further, can we just take a moment and let's pray for Soot and Sina as they start their home assignment. Lord Jesus, we ask even now, in whatever church they are this morning, talking about what you're doing around the world, especially in Cambodia, Lord, I ask your blessing and presence upon them. May, as they're home this year, may we come alongside them and love on them well. May they be rejuvenated and empowered by their friends here in the States, so that when they go back, they are stirred with excitement about what you have to do in and through them. We pray your presence and power upon them in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. On next Saturday, the town is doing a barbecue on Depew, and you got an email if you're on an email list with an opportunity to serve. There's two-hour blocks, 1 to 3, 3 to 5, and 5 to 7. If you didn't get that email, please contact the church office if you're able to serve one of those time slots. I know it's kind of last minute, but we would love to help out our community in that regard. And so if you have one of those time slots available next Saturday, please contact Angela Bader, and she'll put you in contact with who you'll be serving alongside and with, to love on NIAC, which is our first value. Before we go any further, I also want to highlight Soot and Sina Lau as some of our international workers. We support them through the Great Commission Fund, and you can find their names on our Give page. And so if you go on our Give page, down at the bottom, you'll see our international workers, all of them, and you can give directly to their ministry around the world. And you can also click on that link to give and continue to support the ministry here at Living Christ Church. If you're here present, it's lccniac.org, or we have QR codes in the back that you can just scan, and we'll take you right to that Give page. The school year is kicking off soon, and so as we continue this morning. I want to pray for our students. We also, hopefully, we're starting back up street fairs. We were supposed to have one this morning. There's another one on September 12th, and on that Sunday, we'll have a tent out front handing out waters to people as they pass by and head into town, and so just another way to bless our community. With all this in mind, would you join me in prayer as we continue? Lord Jesus, once again, we ask your blessing upon Soot and Sina. Lord, we ask that you would bless them financially. Lord, I thank you for every person who continues to give to Living Christ Church so we can fulfill our mission and our vision, whether they've given this week in the past or they will give today or this week. Lord, I ask your blessing upon them. Lord, we do pray for protection for those that are in the path of this hurricane coming up the East Coast. Lord, I ask, I ask for protection this morning from this storm. Lord, we thank you for this community that you've made us a part of. May we continue to not only say we love this community, but act with our hands and our feet and our resources. And I pray this in the mighty name of Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's continue in worship this morning.
Would you all stand with us? Grace runs deep. So we declare that you have called us, you have chosen us, and you have freed us. So we no longer have to be bound by the chains of this world, God, but we walk in your freedom this morning. So we thank you for that, Jesus, and we pray these things in your name. Amen. You may be seated.
I was excited and terrified to be a father. And I'll never forget that first night home. Annette and I literally were staring at Jordan going, who in the world let us have a kid? Like, that's where I was at. I was terrified, but at the same time excited because we have an opportunity to pour into this little person. And as he began to grow, we would often get, wow, he's like your mini-me. He looks just like you. And then Caleb came along, and Caleb can look like either Annette or I. It depends on the day. And when our kids do certain things, if they're silly, if they're a little crazy, they're like, oh, you know, clearly that's your kid, Jeff. You know, that's who you are. And Annette and I love to, like, go back and forth, like, when they are really, like, living out their Jeffness, she looks over and she's like, that's your kid. And I'm like, no, no, that's your kid. And she's like, no, that's your kid. And we go back and forth. I love these young men. I love them with all my heart, mind, and soul. And before we go any further, I want to start at the end of my sermon and ask this question. Whose child are you? Whose kid are you? John, in the book of 1 John that we've been going through in chapter 3, highlights this. And just as a reminder about this book that we've been going through the last 2 weeks, there is confusion going on in the church here in the church that John is talking to about Jesus. They wonder who he is. There's been questions surrounding the church because people are claiming that Jesus wasn't really God or he wasn't really man. And some of the theological things that were understood have started to become confusing. They're struggling in the church to love one another, to not treat each other well, especially when disagreements arose. And they are also struggling to interact with the government who was over them, as well as the world. Confusion of how do I love a world that is so polarizing to the God that we serve, and how does that work? Because John says we're not, tells the church, last week we looked at this, to not love the world, but at the same standpoint, we're supposed to love the people that God created. And so how does that all work? And it's been confusing. And so John in this book has been highlighting all these things, and he repeats them and repeats them and repeats them. And the chapter that we're going to go over this morning is not anything new. And I think the repetition is on purpose. Because we can hear things thousands of times, and in that one moment, all of a sudden it clicks. I said this before when I was a youth pastor back in the day. One entire year, all I talked about was the love of God. And we took the students to a youth retreat, and one of my kids came home, and they were giving testimony. They were telling about the retreat. And they said, for the first time this week, I realized that God loved me. And I'm like, what? I've been saying that for a year. Sometimes it takes repetition for things to stick. And I really believe that the Apostle John, through this book, is repeating these over and over again just to make sure that the church understands and wants this to stick in their hearts. So we're in John, 1 John chapter 3 this morning. 1 John chapter 3. So if you would open to 1 John chapter 3, we're going to start by reading the first 10 verses of 1 John chapter 3. So if you have a Bible, please open up to 1 John chapter 3. If you have it on your phone, please look it up and follow along as I read. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it does not know Him. Dear friends, how are we children of God? And what will we be? And what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. All who have this hope in Him purify themselves, just as He is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that He appeared so that He might take away our sin. And in Him is no sin. No one who lives in Him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen Him nor known Him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as He is righteous. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. This is how we know who are the children of God and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother or sister. So let's dive into this for a minute. If you've been following along with us in this sermon series, you'll see a lot of the similar themes, and he's bringing them out again here. And he starts first by saying that how amazing it is that you are children of God. And this is a distinction from every human being who is created on planet Earth bears the image of God, but anyone who puts their faith and trust in a relationship with Christ becomes a child of God here. Right? And he says, lavished, it's lavished upon you. John is trying to press really strongly into this so that we intensely and intently study this love. He's almost shouting it to the church. Please understand the words that are coming out of my mouth. You are a child of God. Do you understand what that means? It is both absurd and miraculous and mysterious and amazing. Charles Spurgeon puts it this way. There, he says, you poor people that love me, you sick people, you unknown, obscure people without any talent. I have published it before heaven and earth and made the angels know it, that you are my children and I am not ashamed of you. And all the flaws and imperfections that you think you have, I love it all. You're my children. And so before he goes any further, let me just remind you, John is saying, that you are children of God. And then this is what that means. Anyone who is a child of God won't go on sinning. They will allow the Holy Spirit to do the work that He desires to do in and through them. So there's this concept here of when we see Jesus, when we get to the place that either Jesus returns or we meet Him, then and only then will we become the perfect image of God. And in the meantime, He is doing stuff in us to make the world see him in and through us, but we have to allow him to do that. So he reminds them once again and has this sin conversation with them. Anyone who willfully continues the sin is acting out lawlessness, or they're separating us from God. That's not how a child of God acts. But it's not behavior modification. It's Holy Spirit transformation. It's not about being moral. It's about letting God do the work that he wants to do in and through us. And that needs to be seen and known. So don't let anybody lead you astray. Don't let anybody give you this false understanding of who God is. Jesus was who he said he was. He's reminding them once again. So don't let anybody lead you astray to take you in a direction that is apart from Christ in you, the hope of glory, and the Holy Spirit working in and through you. Don't let anybody navigate you into a place where you have to earn your right or earn your love from God, and conversely, the opposite. Don't let anybody take you away from the God that you love into lawlessness. He's highlighting them both. So, and he lands in verse 10 with, this is how we know who the children of God are. And he lands here in the negative context. We'll see at the end of the passage, he lands in the positive context, but anyone who does not know God, this is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor anyone who does not love their brother or sister. We said last week that Jesus himself culminated all the laws and the prophets and the gospels on these two treaties: to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, love your neighbors yourself. And so John is landing right here with, if you don't do that, if you act out the negative sense of that, you are not acting like a child of God. I've told you numerous times that for whatever reason, when I get in a vehicle, the Holy Spirit still needs to do a lot of work. But I was talking to a pastor buddy of mine a couple years ago, and he's like, you want to hear about flaws? I was going as a guest speaker at a church I'd never been to before. They heard about me through a friend of a friend, and yeah, I'll go. And he had to get on a ferry with his car to get to the place where the church was. And he was running late. Nothing was going right. He woke up the morning, nothing was going right. Everything, when he was getting in traffic, all this kind of stuff was happening. There was a lot of traffic getting to where the ferry was. It was stop and go. And all of a sudden, he sees this guy like coming up on the breakdown lane, passing everybody. And he was like, oh, look at this knucklehead. And the pastor was almost to the gate for the ferry, right? He was like right there. And this guy comes up on the breakdown lane and goes kind of over the median a little bit and cuts right in front of him and gets the last spot on the ferry. And the pastor said, I got out of my car and I started screaming at this guy. You're an idiot. What the heck are you thinking? And he was like, I don't know what I said, but Jesus was no part of it whatsoever. And I was starting to feel like, no, I'm not that bad. This guy is terrible. He finally gets on the ferry. He's like 30, 40 minutes late. He comes walking in the church. He asks where the pastor was. They introduce himself because they hadn't met. He's walking up the aisle and somebody goes, oh yeah, that's the pastor up there with his back to you. So he walks up, and as he's walking up, he's like, hi pastor, I'm so-and-so. Sorry, this jerk cut me off and at the ferry, and that's why I'm late. And the guy turned around. It was the guy who cut him off. We are flawed and broken people. But if we try to live out our brokenness, people don't see Jesus. We'll have circumstances in our lives that will be frustrated and angry and sometimes hard and painful, and emotions are okay. But when they come at the expense of of another image bearer of Christ, then Jesus gets lost in the equation and all they see is the brokenness of man. John is saying, allow Christ to do his work in you so that the world gets to see Jesus, not you. And he continues in verse 11. He says, for this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. And anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has a material possessions and sees his brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with action and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask because we keep his commands and we do what pleases him. And this is his command: to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he has commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. For this reason, you heard this from the beginning, we should love one another, verse 11 says. And then it goes into this story of Cain and Abel, and if you haven't read Genesis chapter 4, I'll give you the Cliff Notes version. Cain and Abel were the first sons of Adam. Abel was a shepherd. Cain worked the fields, and when it came time to give the first fruits of their labor to God, Abel gave the best sheep he had. Like the very best sheep he sacrificed and gave to God. And scripture says that Cain gave some. His heart attitude was, whatever, God. And because of that, because God showed favoritism to Abel because he gave of his heart and Cain did not, Cain became jealous. And God warned him and said, listen, the devil is right there ready to ensnare you. Don't let him do it. And he didn't listen to God and killed his brother. Jealousy unraveled everything. And John is using that to once again tell the church, you can't allow hate, the opposite of love, to permeate in and through you. It will destroy you. It will destroy your brothers and sisters. It will destroy the church. And it will destroy the name of Jesus. And that's why later on in the passage, he says in verse 15, anyone who hates his brother or sister is a murderer. And man, we may think that's really strong. Like, John, you know, there's all this love stuff. Pull back a bit. Jesus himself in the Sermon on the Mount said, if you hate your brother in your heart, your heart is that of a murderer. Do not have that heart attitude. Do not allow that to continue in your life. It will destroy you from the inside out, and no child of God should allow that to stay in any way, shape, or form. And then we get to this part where he starts talking about the heart. And the heart, at first glance, it almost is, it's somewhat a little confusing. It almost sounds like John is unsure what he says. And I want to flesh it out for us just a little bit. In verse 19, it says, "This is how we know that we belong to the truth and that we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts. He knows everything." So as God is doing his work in and through us, right, as he's removing the stuff that is not of him so that we don't go on sinning and show the world that he's not in us, he's checking our heart. And if our hearts condemn us here, if our actions bring us to a place of, ugh, Jesus is greater. I've said this before, but this is something that I was reminded of as I was reading through this passage today. The enemy brings guilt and shame. God brings conviction with love. So when you act out your flawedness and your heart goes to a place of, ugh, the enemy of our soul loves to say, "See, you're not a child of God. Look how terrible you are." And he takes guilt, which is a good thing that should bring us to conviction, and he heaps on shame and says, "Nah, you're terrible. You'll never get to a place of loving your neighbor." And that should be immediately an indication that we're going to a place of unhealth. And so John says, Christ is greater than the heart. The things that you're feeling here on the inside, Jesus is over all of them, so he does not bring the same thing to our hearts. He doesn't bring condemnation that leads to shame. He brings conviction that leads to love. Let me deal with this in your heart. You can't deal with this on your own. Let me deal with it so I can get you to a place of love. Then your heart attitude will be the things that I want for you and for others. And then when you pray, your heart will be aligned with mine, and I'll give you the desires of your heart. If your heart is in alignment with what God is doing. Oh, it's so good. And then lastly, he lands here. I said in the first section here in verse 10, it landed with a negative. In the end here, it lands with a positive. So this is it. To believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another. Super simple, super difficult. And so in order to accomplish that, the Holy Spirit has been given to you to help you understand who you are. There's been a lot in the news about Afghanistan lately. And when I was a youth pastor in Pennsylvania years ago, a lot of our students that came up through the youth group ended up in the military. And at one point, I had 8 students serving overseas in Afghanistan and Iraq. And they saw all kinds of despicable, terrible, hard things. And they had to do things that in their minds were despicable and hard. And when they came back, a lot of them were broken. And the events of the last couple weeks and watching the culmination of the longest war America has ever participated in, it's easy to get to a place of, what the heck was all that for? What was all that pain? What was all that loss? And then I was reminded this week of some of the rays of light that happened because of this arduous 20 years. Thousands upon thousands of people heard about Jesus for the first time in these last 20 years. Tens of thousands of people have come to Christ because there were certain levels of freedom that he was allowed to be talked about. Previously, that was almost unheard of. And I was reading articles from pastors who are in Afghanistan today. In July, most of the churches that met in Afghanistan decided to register with the government of Afghanistan last month, July. They knew that America was pulling out at that point. And so several people have been asking them questions. Why in the world would you do that? Why would you register with the government knowing that there was a possibility that the Taliban could come back in and hurt and harm you? And the response was, we prayed about it, we thought about it, and ultimately we decided to do it for our children. And also because now the world is watching. And if the Taliban comes in and we're not killed, we get to continue to tell our kids about Jesus and freedom. If the Taliban comes in and kills us, the world gets to see that we really believe in this Jesus so much that we're willing to die for him so our kids can continue to hear about him. This is something, the foreseeable future in America, I will never have to think about, more than likely. My brothers and sisters overseas are going, you know what? I really, really believe in this Jesus that John is talking about in this book. So much so that I'm willing to give my life so that others know about him too. So I land with this question for us this morning that I said at the beginning. Whose child are you? Whose child are you? Are you a child of God? Then let him represent in and through you through the work of the Holy Spirit. Let others know the Jesus that is inside your heart. Don't go on in the patterns of brokenness and lawlessness. Allow the Holy Spirit to do the work. So maybe there's something the Holy Spirit still needs to work on and remove in your life. And then it's not just the work that he wants to do inside and remove. It's the part inside that he wants to replace so that others around you get to see the love of Christ. So then conversely, then who is God calling you this week to love in a tangible, practical way, not just your mouth, but with actions and deeds? Not as proof, God, look at me, or world, look at me, I love you, but a heart in alignment and understanding that the same God who created you, who imparted his image to others, wants those image bearers also to be children of God. Let's take some time to sit on this. Lord Jesus, as we walk with you, there are things in our lives that you want to remove. So Holy Spirit, I ask that you would speak to our hearts, our minds, and souls. Those things that we need to repent of, turn from, give over to you. They have no place in a child of God. May you strip them from us now. Holy Spirit, replace them with your fruit, things of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. Give our eyes and our minds clarity this week and how to act out that fruit to the people around us. We pray this in the powerful, majestic, amazing name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you stand? Let's close in a